Good afternoon. A pleasure being with you again in Henry's lovely home. The doghouse. Around the doghouse. Does karma really exist? I know that you can say no, it doesn't. But as long as you believe you are a body, a mind, as long as you feel the world to be real, you cannot fool yourself. Do not lie to yourself. If the world perturbs you, if people bother you, if things annoy you, if you are reacting to conditions, this means that you believe you are a body going through these experiences. And as long as you are going through experiences, you are in karma. You are experiencing the karma that puts you here as a body. It is only when you have realized the self that there is no karma. Therefore, they don't go around telling people that there's no karma. It will give them license to do anything they like. Feeling there's no retribution, there's no effect for their deeds. This is not true, as long as you believe you are a body. For there are laws of the universe that respond to your actions. Karma means action. And as long as you believe you are the actor, you have to experience the results of the karma. So, in this particular life, you are experiencing the results of not only the karma of this experience, but of previous lives. Previous lives also come into effect whenever you believe you are the body. There are only two ways to destroy the karma. One is to inquire to whom the karma comes, who is experiencing this karma. And the other way is to surrender completely to God. Totally surrender your life to God. God is within you, as you. You therefore surrender everything to the self. Thy will be done. You begin to see that as long as you have God to surrender to, you need not worry, you need not fear. Everything will be all right. There is absolute love in this universe. Absolute peace. absolute joy, absolute freedom. Yet you seem to be experiencing other things. Many people, or most people, are not really happy. They're happy when they get something they want. They're happy when something happens that is good for them. But most of the time, in their hearts, they're not really happy. They feel something is wrong someplace. What they are doing is they're picking up the unconscious of the universe, of the world. They're picking up all of the things that are going on in this world. They're feeling these things unconsciously. So they react accordingly, usually in a negative way. Feeling sorry for themselves. Not understanding that they are complete and total freedom. Everyone is in the right place. Everything is right with the universe and with your life. Whatever happens to you, whatever you go through, good or bad, appears to be the karma that you have accumulated through past incarnations. That is your experience today. If you want to free yourself again, you do not react to it. You do not react to anything in this world. Spontaneously. You observe things without reacting. You watch, you look. And you always go with them. Within is a haven, a refuge from Maya, from ignorance, and it's beautiful when you can dive within yourself and touch the emptiness, the truth, the reality. Then the reality reality that you touch becomes the external world for you. So what you see in the world today is simply your reality. Whatever you observe, whatever you see, is your reality, your personal reality. You therefore not try to change the condition you rather know the truth. The truth is all is well, everything is unfolding as it should. As you dwell on this, the external world changes for you. Everything in this world, in this universe, is in a state of flux. The entire appearance of the universe is not a solid. It is energy, pure energy. Energy appears like people, like animals, like trees, like mountains, like birds. Energy appears as the universe. But this energy takes shape in accordance with your thinking. You are the one who molds this energy into the shape that you desire. You're always in control. The mind appears very strong. The mind controls most people on this earth. The mind accepts the thought. The thought becomes a reality eventually. Thoughts are things. The mind is like the earth. It grows things. A farmer has two seeds. One seed is nightshade and one seed is corn. Nightshade is a deadly poison. Compare the seeds to your thoughts. Compare the earth to the mind. The farmer plants both seeds. Is the earth going to say to the nightshade, I do not wish to grow you because you're poison? It will grow the nightshade in the same abundance as it grows the corn. And if you do not dig up the nightshade, the roots will come deeper, they will spread out, the plants will become stronger and grow in abundance. If you inadvertently planted nightshade as a farmer and you realize what you've done, you wish to grow more corn, then you can immediately get a shovel and dig it up. But if you wait for months or years, the roots would have spread all over. And you need a bulldozer to dig up the poison, the plant. And so this is our thoughts in our lives. We allow ourselves to think certain thoughts about person, place, and thing. And these thoughts are like seeds that are planted in the soil of our unconscious mind. And eventually our world becomes a product of this mind. So, the world that you are experiencing, and each one of us is experiencing the world differently, is a creation of the mind that you have allowed to do what it wants to. You have not stopped the mind, you have allowed it to do what it wants. Consequently, it has controlled you completely and is born into your life, into your personal world, the world that exists for you today. How do you get out of this? Again, you inquire to yourself, to whom does this mind come? To whom does this experience come? To whom does this life come? Realizing that this experience is not you, you are not the person with problems. You are not the person with disease. You are not the person with lack or limitation of any kind. You are not the person who suffers. You are not the person who is experiencing anything. You are another person. You begin to see this. You begin to surrender your entire existence, all of your beliefs, your entire life, everything. Surrender everything that you are, that you've been. Let go of it. Do not allow the mind to rule you any longer. In reality, the mind does not exist. Karma does not exist. Reincarnation does not exist. None of these things actually exist. But again, I have to remind you over and over again, if you believe you are the body, if you believe you are the mind, then they do exist. They appear to exist. Awaken from the entire dream. Do not allow this dream of Maya to rule you any longer. You are beyond this. You are above this. Pure awareness is your real nature. This is what satsang is all about. By being here, things begin to happen to you inwardly. You grow spiritually. The old habits fall away. The belief that everything is in the external world disappears. You stop believing that the external world can hurt you or give you goodness or badness. when you first realize all the goodness and badness comes from yourself. You think both do not exist. Only the self exists. Only God exists. Only absolute reality exists. All these things begin to unfold in your experience as you look at this world and do not react to it. Therefore, truly ask yourself the question, why do I come to satsang? What am I really doing here? Some of you come here because there's no other place to go on Sunday. You've seen all the movies. You don't feel like going bowling. So you come here. Some of you come here for entertainment. You want to hear a talk, a lecture. You want to hear jokes. The psychiatrist. This guy walks into the psychiatrist's office with a parrot on his head. And the psychiatrist said, how can I help you? And the parrot says, can you get this goddamn guy off my feet? That's what you want to hear, jokes.
I got a joke. Simon walked into a bar with a parrot on his shoulder and the bartender said, where did you get that? And the parrot said, in China, of course. There are millions of them over there.
That's about as good as mine.
About the same.
Can you tell the one about the lady who the lady who wanted to take her pet dog on the plane to Israel? She's moving.
Oh, I forgot how that goes. You wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
Sit down comedian. Laugh your way to enlightenment.
This guy was working for his father in a garment factory. For 10 years he was working for his dad. And he finally goes into his dad and he says, Pop, I want to be a partner. I've been working for you for 10 years, make me a partner in the business. So the old man gets up, stares at him, make you a partner, you schmuck? You want to be a partner? Do you know what? What's what? And the son says, no, I don't know what's what. So to the father, says, find out what's what and I'll make you a partner. He leaves the factory and he's going home. He's depressed. He goes into a bar to have a drink. And he starts talking to a young lady. And she tells him, would you like to come up to my apartment? He says, okay. He goes up to her apartment with her. She says, sit down on the couch. When I slip into something more comfortable. She comes out in 5 minutes with nothing on but a big leather belt. And he exclaims, what's this? And she says, what's what? He says, if I knew what's what, my father would have made me a partner. Some joke. Life is a joke. Isn't life a joke?
Yes, yes.
But you take it so seriously. You believe in all the things you see. You accept all the nonsense of this world. You're not the world. You are total freedom. Happiness. Joy. What do you feel when you sit in silence? What thoughts come into your mind? What's going on inside of yourself?
I tried that Friday night. Sat for 20 minutes. I lit some candles for the atmosphere, and I just sat. And all kinds of thoughts. But I didn't think about the thoughts. No. I let them come and go. And the thing that I was pleased about was that I didn't get sore at myself for having those thoughts. And last night, I did about 25 minutes, and it was nice mainly because I didn't get down on myself for having the damn thoughts. That more or less what the...
That's very good, of course.
It was enjoyable. It was a lot of thoughts, but it didn't get me down.
That's the whole idea. When the thoughts that come to you no longer bother you, frighten you, annoy you, or make you believe something is wrong, that you have to change something, you've come a long way. Your thoughts have no power except the power that you give them. You as consciousness give the thoughts their power. Instead of identifying with the consciousness, you're identifying with the thoughts. So they become more powerful. They build up the ego. They make you feel as if you are a human being that has to overcome something, that has to do something. It has to make something happen. Yet there's absolutely nothing you have to do. It's strange that most of us believe and think we have to be active. If we're not active, we believe something is wrong. Of course, you cannot help being active. You will be active as long as you're in this world with a body. You will do things. Yet you have to come to the place where you feel you are not the doer, and you're doing absolutely nothing. But it appears as if you're doing something. If you're only able to realize that the greatest happiness in this world that you can ever desire is already within you, you're already that. There's nothing in this world that can bring you this happiness. It may appear to bring you happiness for a short time. Then it will change like things do change. But the true happiness is you. You are that. The true happiness is within you. total happiness, total joy, total peace, total love. You are that. That is your real nature. People run all over the world in search of happiness, in search of peace, in search of love. If they only knew, all they have to do is sit down and dive deep within the self, and they will find that everything they've been searching for is within them.
We're told that the kingdom of God is within us. Actually, it's the other way around, is that not so?
We're in the kingdom of God. Both are correct. The kingdom of God is within you, and you are within the kingdom of God.
It's all one God was.
It's all one. There's no difference. The only difference is the difference that you see yourself. There is one power, one God, one ultimate reality, one absolute awareness, one nirvana, one Satchitananda. They're all synonymous, they're all the same. And you are that. It's been you all the time. And here you believe you have to read it in a book, or you have to find it in their teaching, and you have to find it from a guru. But in truth and reality, you've been that all the time. It's you. You are the one. Who has to learn? The person who has to learn doesn't even exist. It is the ego that wants to learn. The mind wants to learn. The ego believes it has to know knowledge. It has to acquire wisdom. But you are wisdom. Wisdom is your real nature. When the ego is gone, then you know, because you are the universe. But the one who wants to know is the ego.
So there's something that was to be brought about sometime in the future, which is non-existent.
The ego deals in the past and the future.
The reality is only.
There's not even a presence.
That would be something in the mind.
The presence comes from the mind. The mind wants to believe there's a presence. This is no present because this does not exist. What appears to exist at this moment does not really exist. Well, the only one experiencing the moment is the ego. Well, if there were a moment, there would have to be another moment, and another moment. So there is no moment. You have been learning that you have to exist in this second, in this moment. But in truth, you do not have to exist at all. You really don't exist anyway. Yet you feel that you must exist. For you believe if you do not exist, there will be nothing.
That's right. That's correct.
Yes. It is. But you're afraid to be nothing. So you want to exist as something. You think nothing will eliminate you completely. And you will be nothing at all. Mm-hmm. But nothing at all is reality. And nothing is good. If you're not nothing, you're something. And if you're something, you're not nothing. When you're something, you suffer and go through the trials and tribulations of life. When you're nothing, there's no one left to go through anything. Be yourself, be nothing. Nothing really means, of course, that you're no thing. Whatever you can think about, you're not that. Whatever comes into your mind, you're not that. Everything has to go. understands Vedavedanta, there are no profound teachings. Because there's nothing. There's nothing profound anywhere. There are no special teachings that have any answers, for there are no questions.
The teachings would be in the mind, and the mind is
in the... All teachings come from the mind.
So beyond the teaching.
Beyond the teaching.
So-called teaching.
There is silence.
Sir?
There is silence. Total quietness.
Oh, but I forgot the name of the gentleman that said to me, but he said, something is small and nothing is large, because any kind of something has a limitation in it, but nothing has no limitation.
True. Why don't you record it as make a tape of silence?
They come that way.
That's right. What's to make?
And then you gotta make a transcript out of it.
Nobody will buy it, Robert. Nobody wants nothing.
People
might
like this all the time.
People
more than any other kind.
I don't buy them to listen to, not like you. I think
we've got
to call the
door catcher. That's a good point.
The gold mines always like this.
Maybe there's something deep inside the person that realizes that nothing exists. And they really buy the tape to listen to nothing.
He's the only one who does that, though. It's a problem.
We all do that subconsciously. But then the ego comes into play and we think we have to put some message on the tape.
You mean you buy the music tape and you erase all the music and then you listen to it the way it came? Whatever.
Yes. Then you hear the real message. You hear the music of the spheres.
But Robert, it seems like the mind focuses at nothing into particulars and focuses into via the attention. It seems like consciousness is like a diffuse nothing until the mind focuses it by using the attention, and then it gets into particulars, which is emotion instead of no motion before.
Yet there's no mind to begin with. So how can the mind do all these things? Do not give the mind too much credit. When you think the mind is doing all of these things that you just mentioned, it appears to be a reality. And that keeps you in bondage. Whenever the mind tells you about this and about that, whatever it may appear to be, immediately transcend it.
There isn't any mind per se. That's just a term pointing to something that doesn't really exist. There are thoughts which occur and arise and disappear, and we call that mind.
Mm.
But there's no mind per se.
There's no mind per se, no.
No.
The thoughts are the mind.
That's right.
But the thoughts are like some kind of an energy pulsation. It just it's so subtle, so delicate that we don't even feel we're doing it. And yet if you go into it, we are giving it the energy, like consciousness is giving it the energy. But it's such a delicate vibration. It's so hard to control it because it's so infinitely delicate.
This is why you have to inquire, for whom is there a mind? And we'll find out it never was a mind.
And won't you find out that there were never any thoughts either?
As there's no mind, there are no thoughts. They both come up spontaneously. Mind, thoughts. There's no one to thank. To have thoughts, you have to be a thinker.
That's the exact point at which the illusion, the whole of Maya, springs forth, isn't it?
Of course.
Like a jack-in-the-box pops up.
It happens instantaneously.
Thoughts are okay without the thinker.
Without the thinker, there are no thoughts. For who will think? Where will the thoughts come from if there's no thinker? The thinker and the thoughts is simultaneously come together. They're all the same.
There seems, when there's no thoughts and there's no thinker, there seems to be just unknown.
What's an unknown?
Just unknown and unknowable. Not only unknown, but unknowable.
There has to be somebody to know the unknown, the unknowable.
but there's a feeling, there's a feeling of being.
Of being what?
Just being. There's some kind of a feeling. I mean, if you close your eyes and you just stop thinking, there's still a certain quality that's you start to kind of unravel in a mystery.
Who does all this? The one who does all this should be destroyed.
Bye-bye, Bob. Nice to have known you.
So he's hiding. Then the ego starts becoming a non-doer. No? Then the non-doing does the doing. You know what I mean?
The ego can't be the non-doer because there's no ego.
Then we tried to imitate non-doing. So we say, okay, the ego is the cause of all this trouble. So now the ego masquerades and says, now I'm going to do non-doing, or I'm going to do, you know, silence. I'm going to do meditation. But it's still the ego behind there. It's so slimy, you know. It's so subtle. He's doing non-doing now, but he's still there, and the whole illusion is still held together.
Who says so?
Maybe we need a brain transplant.
A brain transplant.
One way.
Something I wonder about from time to time is all these words, there's so many different ways to pronounce them. A lot of people say Ramana, a lot of people say Ramana, a lot of people say devotee, or Arjuna, or Arjuna. And one night I referred to Shiva's consort as Parvati, and I was told it was Parvati. I can't see where it makes a damn bit of difference. way different than it.
It doesn't make any difference whatsoever.
Sure.
It makes no difference whatsoever.
Thank you. That's, it kind of worries me, because you seem to jump on me when I call her poverty.
Who jumps on you?
Me. Okay. That's cool. But it doesn't make any difference. It's like Vivekananda, Vivekananda, all the different pronunciations. And words are nothing but symbols in the first place, even names are symbols. Is that not so?
It's like saying tomato and tomato.
I'm from New England, so it's tomato.
Potato, potato.
But that makes me feel better, because I don't why a word better, because there's nothing for it. Because it really doesn't make me difference.
It is only the great scholars that quarrel among themselves. How to pronounce a word.
Okay, that's good. If you're a great scholar. No.
Catch your feelings, catch your thoughts. Observe your mind thinking. And realize there's no need to think. Life is gone.
My understanding is Stephen Gianni has thoughts, but he has no inclination to follow up on them at all, because he knows there's something other than his real nature, and doesn't get caught up in the person with no attention, except more or less.
To somebody else who observes, they think the Gianni has thoughts. But there's no place for when it's supposed to come.
Don't mind. But there's something I understand called the working mind, which has certain knowledge that is useful, like where do you live? The working mind has to know that, so that would be a thought.
This happens spontaneously.
There's no dealing with it, no getting into it. It's just spontaneous.
There are no thoughts to dislodge. There are no thoughts to linger. There are no thoughts to mean anything. There are no thoughts.
Even the knowledge of where you live would not be considered a thought.
It's not a thought. It's just an expression. It's just there. You just do it. You're not thinking about it.
It's kind of automatic.
We firmly believe there has to be thoughts to exist, to survive. But not really. The dog has no thoughts. Yeah, it exists. That's the way it is. It is only we human beings who believe we have to have thoughts. That we can't function without thinking.
You appear to think.
So?
You don't really.
Why do you think I appear to think?
Because you're talking. That's your verbal expression of thought, presumably.
And you're listening.
That's what you say.
So it appears that I'm talking. There's nobody talking, there's nobody listening.
There you go. Now you got it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Much obliged.
There's a little man behind the chair with a record player, and he's moving his mouth.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, yeah.
We should call this meeting Egos Anonymous.
It was a very thing.
Since we're all addicted to the ego, all but one. Isn't the ego the major addiction? I mean, above alcoholism and drug addiction. And isn't that the major addiction that the whole human race is involved in?
It's the ego that does all these things. The ego appears to be the culprit.
So we're all addicts. We're junkies.
Speak for yourself.
Man.
So, let's play Stump the Guru. See if there are any questions.
No, I looked in the basket. There isn't a single one there.
No questions.
Yeah, there
are some.
It
did.
Where are they? Then if you know where they are, get them.
No, I'll see if there is.
There's a message from a friend.
Oh, you typed it. Ah.
Oh, you know that.
You're supposed to write it.
Just pieces of paper.
I'm sorry, Fred. I thought it was...
Thoughts have been grouped by some people into beta, alpha, theta, and one more. With beta the fastest thought in cycles per second, and theta the slowest in cycles per second. Could it be said that theta is nearer to no thought than beta? Some people have trained themselves to be able to function in the alpha mode. Some may have reached theta. The real question here is, if one continues further than theta, is it possible to reach the no thought state? Theta, beta, shmeta. What is all this?
Football team.
That's a busy mind.
We're not interested in psychological jargon. All these things are part of the mind. The mind comes up with a theta and shmeta and beta.
Potato.
Potato.
And it's the mind that gives names to these things. There is no thought to begin with. So you really don't have to reach the no thought state. You already are in the no thought state. Find out who says no. Find out within yourself why you need a theta and a shmeta and a beta and a lot. Why do you need all these things? Who needs this? Who needs this? Who has to go through all this? Can't you see that all this psychological jargon keep us from understanding the truth, keep us in bondage?
I need a match now.
It expands the ego, that's what this does. We come up with a theta, shmeta, theta. This just makes us think, what do we have to do to give it up? When in reality, there's nothing to give up, and this word does not exist.
So, Robert, would that also apply when you have spoken occasionally of the fourth state of consciousness, the others being sleeping, dreaming, and waking? There are really no states of consciousness either.
Correct.
So you're speaking on a relative
Correct.
Level?
Correct.
What would pure consciousness be? That would not be a state, but it would simply be...
Pure consciousness of words. To words to make us understand that there's something beyond.
To know the unknowable. That's why we use words, is that it?
To try to understand the unknowable. And yet there really is no unknowable.
It's like the eye trying to see itself.
Yes.
It's not possible.
Yes.
It's a futile pursuit.
This is why it tells us in the scriptures we have to become like a little child. A little child is not concerned itself with tete, shmete, vita. With the unknowable, with the knowable. With this, with that. We're trying to get rid of thoughts. A little child just is. And we send the child to school. And we fill his little head with all kinds of ideas, programs. And then it grows up to be like us.
What a pity.
Forget all these terms. Be free. Be yourself. Anything else in that?
No, that's it.
Robert, what is the teachings of Kashmir Shivism, they call the ego self the self-contraction, the contraction in the field of awareness.
So what do you want me to do?
Well, what is it? why do they use the word contraction?
Because your body contracts. When it's cold, you contract. When it's hot, you expand.
The mind is a contraction of the pure awareness. Is that why they use the word contraction?
Your mind is a contraction of the pure awareness when you've got a mind to contract. But if there's no mind, what's going to contract? What you want is a contract. A contract between you and the mind. That you will not resist. And you will give yourself up. So no mind and become free. There are voluminous books available with all kinds of teachings. Who are these teachings for? People want to fill up themselves with life. Life is the universe with all its manifestations, Maya. You want to empty yourself out. You don't want more teachings, more book learning. You want to become totally free from these things. The only way you will ever awaken is when you're totally empty of all the learnings, all the teachings, and save everything. Then there is freedom. But as long as you have one iota of knowledge, it will keep you back. Human knowledge is a death knell to spirituality. All of the knowledge has to be transcended.
It could be something called knowledge before it becomes knowledge of anything. Like it's awareness before it becomes aware of anything, or consciousness before it becomes conscious of anything, mind before it becomes mindful of anything. All of these words are just words.
And those are more words that you've just spoken.
More words.
More words. You've added on more words to the confusion.
I'll take them back.
Thanks, pal. You're always helpful.
You should have a book burning. Looks like you have a lot of candidates in mind.
I don't mind burning.
Lord, isn't it that there are, however, some expressions, terms, or which tend to sort of put the mind in abeyance, like who am I itself, or the unborn, or I am Brahma, or any of those expressions that tend to...
These words have a tendency to make us feel good. They have a tendency to lift us a little bit.
To slow down the thoughts.
But for a complete awakening, the words have to go. There are really no words. As an example, self-inquiry brings you to the place where you inquire, who am I? But there's another who am I that wakes you up. It is the silence. After you say, who am I, you keep still. Then the time comes when the stillness wakes you up and you become free.
By instance, expression abiding in the self, who knows what's abiding in the self? However, if you put your attention to it, little by little your thoughts tend to slow down. You don't know what you are talking about or what you want to think about. And the process of thinking slows down. And whatever happens, you know. In that sense, yes. There are certain terms which tend to help with this process.
These terms help to quieten the mind. They make the mind one-pointed. So you can sit and be still. But really, all of the teachings in the universe are simply for you to be still. Be quiet. Then everything unfolds by itself. All the teachings, the exercises, the mental confusion, everything is to make us be still.
So there are certain expressions which are valid in this sense.
There are certain expressions that make you still more so than other expressions. Ask the words of self-inquiry. Be still and know that I am God. catch yourself thinking as you sit in the silence. Catch yourself as you think. And notice the things you're thinking about. Are these things really important? Do you believe that you'll not be able to function if you stop thinking completely? Do you believe you have to think?
Said that we do not live, but we are lived. And we don't run the show. Me or any part.
Who runs the show?
Whatever you want to call it. God or the show.
So you're separating yourself from that. Are you not?
It sounds like it's two different things.
Mm. Are they really two different things?
Is there really a show?
What do you call this?
Illusion.
Maya. Great A Maya.
We get together like this to realize that there's absolutely nothing in this world, in this universe, that has anything to give us or to show us. We are that ourselves. The whole universe is an emanation of our mind. And appears to be the mind produces the universe. Everything in this universe is a projection of your mind. Everything. So it cannot be you and anything else. But there's no room for the real you and anything else. What you really are is all-pervading. Omnipresent.
Robbie, is there a universal mind? Are we all...
There is a universal mind to the extent that you believe there's a universal mind.
Because I wonder, does each one form this universe, each mind form it, or is it one mind that forms it?
There is one mind acting as inlets and outputs of the same mind. And that mind can be called God, which you're talking about. Absolute reality is the mind you're referring to. But or Jesus had to come out of us? Or where would it come from?
That's right.
We are the knower of universal mind. If we are the knower, we are the creator.
At times you've spoken of collective consciousness. For example, when I ask how we agree on anything, if we're all creating separate illusions, is that the same mind that you're referring to? And on the highest level, would you say that neither collective consciousness nor that universal mind exists?
Correct. On the highest level, there is nothing but the self. And that's the Gospel song.
What we call the self.
We give it a name as the self. That's the name we give it in human speech.
Even though it's no thing.
We call it the self. For want of conversation. But in truth, in ultimate reality, there's nothing that can be the self. There's nothing that can be universal mind.
Are you saying, in other words, there's nothing to which a name can be given?
Yes, correct. As long as we can name it, it doesn't exist.
Name it and claim it.
True nothing is nameless.
I think I just about say, no, it ain't.
So just be happy. Forget everything. Stop thinking. Enjoy. You know, some person like me, for slide or for star.
Okay.